Hello, and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever, presented by the Sideshow Network. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence that just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
Comic books. More comic books. There's more comic books. We have more comic books.
So many comics. So many.
Sean just sounds so defeated.
There's a lot. Well, because I'm also thinking about, like, for a second, I was like, well, you know, we've got a lot of, I got a lot of books to order, put in order.
Oh, I was like, you're buying more?
No. I don't know if I'm going to buy more for a while.
No, I'm done with all my single issues. I got through my entire stack, and now I just have my trades, and I only have, like, 4 trades left.
I know, but there's all this other stuff we have that you should read.
I know, but I just wanted to get through the stack of shit that I bought first.
Okay.
And then I'm going to get through all my trades, and then I'm going to read real books again.
Oh, okay. All right, maybe I should let you do that.
I'm just trying to get through all my fucking comic books I've had around forever.
Yeah, I'm behind now.
Yeah.
I got to get back up on it, because I have, like, all the books that I've been buying, and then I had, like, all the ones that I got from when I went back home.
Yeah.
That I kind of want to reread and go through, and I have those sitting beside the bed in just a box, and it's just
the cat loves to scratch in the middle of the night.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, so let's get into our comic books. Mm-hmm. Real quick, we were talking about this before we just started. Do you need help with Snapchat?
I don't know what Snapchat does.
I don't either.
So, like, I finally got it because, like, I suppose I was supposed to, and I don't really know what I'm supposed to do with it besides put filters on my face.
Yeah.
And that's what I fucking do with it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the point of it.
Apparently you're supposed to tell stories or do videos and supposed to last. And, like, I don't know if I have the patience to do that. I mean, I barely have enough patience to put pictures on Instagram or whatever.
That's kind of where I am. I'm like, oh, you can put text. I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm too old to understand Snapchat. I think sometimes you just have to accept that maybe you're just too old for things.
Yeah, sometimes they're like just people that are just better at it, and they just, you know, they just care, have more time to deal with it and learn it. And
I'm just like, it's another goddamn platform.
Yeah, I don't feel like a fan. So, one thing I do know is comic books. Or at least I think I do.
Sure.
I know what I read on
the internet.
Yeah. But I have read a lot of comics.
Yes, you have.
So have you.
Yes,
so there's a lot of things for us to draw back from. So we're pretty, sure. I feel we're pretty good at just talking the deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We know that. We don't know Snapchat.
We don't know Snapchat, but we can hang in a conversation. Like, if you put me up in a panel and you're like, Sean, talk about this Ghostwriter thing. It's like, well, I remember. And then this, and then that. And it's like, okay, talk about Super. I can figure out something about Superman. I haven't read anything current, but I was like, well, what about that time he made Firestorm say his name, you know, or whatever. You remember that?
No.
That was it was that issue of Firestorm we did.
Oh, yeah.
Where Firestorm showed up and it was.
Oh, that's right. And Superman was an asshole.
Shock. Yeah. You know, he shows up and he's like, because the cover's like, fuck you, Firestorm. Basically, it's literally at the cover. It's like, fuck you, Firestorm. And he's like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and then at some point he
doesn't Firestorm ask Superman how it's hanging in that book as well?
He might.
I believe he does.
I'm going to say probably yes. But he, because I remember that issue, like, real quick. Firestorm shows Superman shows up and Firestorm's ever met him. Firestorm's like, and he's like, say it. And I'm like, why are you doing
that's
it?
That's right.
Why? It's like, I can talk about that. I can talk about Firestorm. I can talk about the Elemental War, which I've read a couple issues of in Firestorm. It's actually very good. I like it.
Are you pitching yourself for anything particular or?
No, I'm just saying in general. Okay. Like, I just feel like I need to validate my
your existence,
my all these comics that I buy that I have some sort of knowledge in.
Well, that's why I don't want to buy any for a while.
Yeah, I feel like I'm all tapped out. I have to read all my Warlocks. I got to read all my Avengers West Coasts. Mm-hmm. I've just got come out the ass.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna do it.
I know.
I'm gonna do it.
It took me forever to get through my stupid pile.
I am enjoying reading again too. My Marvel Book of the Deads.
Yes,
which I feel might actually be a series of episodes that we might do.
All right,
in some way. Because we have to talk about people dying in comic books and how ridiculous sometimes without really any context,
mm-hmm.
It's just like literally a panel where it's like if you've never seen it, I mean, and it's actually in trade, so I highly recommend getting it. But Marvel, the official Marvel handbooks or whatever they call them, put out in the late 80s. After they put out the initial run of the Marvel handbooks, they put out like the last, it was like 20 issue run, but the last like five issues of it were people that all these Marvel characters that died from like then up until like 1986 or 87 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's great because like you get an entry. It's like a who's who, DC who's who. So you get an entry. You don't get like a custom like logo, but you just get like an entry of like of the character standing there. And then, you know, usually right below it, you get the picture of how they died.
You get the actual panel.
You get the actual, either the actual panel or a recreation of the panel or something that is implied that gets shown. You know, a lot of it's people like falling off of buildings or getting shot or, exploding. You know, but some of them are just like, fuck it. This is so weird. And it's a, I've really, actually. When we get to those, if we ever get to those episodes, which we will at some point, I will, I'll talk about all that stuff in more depth.
Okay.
But, see, I'm showing restraint.
I'm so proud.
So anyways, our first book this week is Ghost Rider. We're doing another Ghost Rider, but this is from the revival of Ghost Rider. Mm-hmm. The, I want to say Ghost Rider series 3 from the 90s, Ghost Rider number 39 from July 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And on the cover, it is Ghost Rider being press slammed by Vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
And he's yelling, "Vengeance is mine," because why the fuck not?
Sure. That's his name.
There's a lot of bones and fire.
Vengeance. Vengeance looks like the id of the 90s fucked a flaming skeleton.
Yes.
And had a baby.
100%.
That's exactly what Vengeance looks like. There's, like, he's got, like, a, you know, like, the cross straps.
Yeah.
But they're made of bones, and, like, it's just, it is.
Which I'm surprised is holding up in this fighting, because unless they're glued on.
They're just very flexible bones.
I guess.
They're not a lot of calcium. Not a lot of children's bones, so they're flexible.
Not a lot of calcium in those bones.
Not like us olds.
Yeah, Vengeance just looks ridiculous. Yeah, he is just the most ridiculous looking character. I mean, it's one of those things where this is where like the height of Ghost Rider's, at least in my opinion, Ghost Rider's comic book fame. I mean, it's funny because he was not nearly as popular as you think he would be when those movies came out.
Right.
Because like the movies came out and it was just like Nick Cage is Ghost Rider. And they made two of those. They made two movies of those.
I know.
They made two fucking movies.
Two of them.
Which not many people remember, but yeah, they made two movies.
Yeah.
And which I've never seen either. I kind of want to.
Did I see the first one?
You maybe would have saw the first one, but the second one was one of those things. It was like a February movie.
Right. I feel like I saw the first one, but definitely like not in the theater. I feel like maybe I caught it on cable, like the end of it or something.
I bought the first one for my dad.
Yeah.
Per his action movie thing.
Yes.
For Christmas.
Yes.
But yeah.
Did you ever watch it?
No, because it was his. I wasn't living at home where I just didn't.
You didn't want to say, hey, can I borrow it?
I don't know. I mean, I could probably borrow it now.
Where is it?
At home? In Buffalo?
Sure, your brother doesn't have it?
Yeah, but I don't need it that bad. If I really want to watch it, we'll stream it on Amazon for $2. We got to do that for Barbed Wire, apparently.
Yeah.
What?
We'll get there.
We'll get there for all these shitty comic book movies.
That's
that
we We have like a whole like catalog, and I'm just like, okay.
I do. We do own Punisher Warzone though on Blu-ray, which
do.
I've not.
I think we started watching it.
Well, you fell asleep because you fall asleep immediately before any movie starts.
This is true. I do.
And so I'm usually like, let's watch it, and then you go Z.
Well, because like if it's not immediately engaging for me, I'm just like I'm just gonna curl up in a little ball, and then I fall asleep.
That's every movie.
It's not every movie. But a lot of movies.
Okay, sorry. We watched Legend recently and you did not curl up in a ball.
Because I was engaged.
Because it's Legend. Okay.
Yeah, I was engaged with the movie. Like last night, I was like, I'm going to sit here and watch this Avengers animated shit. And immediately I was like, Nope.
Well, because it's not very good.
Right. And I was like, this isn't very good. So that's when I curl up in a ball and go to sleep.
Fair enough. But anyway, so he's, you know, so this is like, but this is at the height of his, like, as far as I'm concerned, the comic book thing, because they had, you know, they had Ghost Rider, and they had Ghost Rider and Cable for like a shot. They had Ghost Rider, the Midnight Sun. So it was like Ghost Rider and Blaze and Morbius and this person, that person, and Doctor Strange and all that. And then they also had Spirits of Vengeance, which was like another, like it was Ghost Rider and Blaze together, because Blaze, and then Blaze had his own series.
Oh God.
Fucking Johnny Blaze, who came back.
He's in this book.
Yeah, he's in this book. Yeah, because he's all he does. He just shows up. And he just never went away.
Ugh.
You know, he's got his gun with his Hellfire gun or whatever, and that's it.
Sure.
And he got his own book. And then there was also something. I don't know. They had a ton of fucking.
They went all in on Ghost Rider.
Yeah, and then they went all in on it. And so mm-hmm. he's got, basically a Vengeance. Is, I believe, from what, if, and I'm probably wrong on this, but he is a portion, or if not the same demon, or a competing demon that once possessed Ghost Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ghost Rider is here, you know, and it's not Johnny Blaze, it's Dan Ketch. Dan Ketch had, you know, touched the magic motorcycle. He did. That's exactly what happened. Touched the medallion on a magic motorcycle and became Ghost Rider.
That's so fucking dumb. Touched the magic motorcycle.
Sure.
Comics.
You know, and Johnny Blaze showed back up and he was like, hey, looks like you're back. Well, I'm back on a motorcycle and I got a gun. And
we'd then still hang out, Ghost Rider?
Hey, you want to hang? Totes want to hang out? And he's like, sure.
Sure.
And then Vengeance. No, I think it's just when Vengeance just showed up, because eventually he became a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess. But
that's what happens when you have a flaming head.
But he just looks like a weird.
No, he's just, it's
just weird. He's got giant teeth.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Sorry,
go ahead.
So basically, we open up with a scene where
it's dudes beating up a dude.
It's in Brooklyn, and the most muscular thugs ever.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. So, like, these
it's
are
the
like,
90s. So, you know, everybody has muscles for their muscles.
That's the thing. Is like, these are like thugs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like, all they do is like, they must like, are juicing this fuck.
Oh yeah, all they do is, because
everybody's
out.
Like this fantastic. I mean, especially these thugs. I mean, these guys are gigantic.
Yeah, they're all jacked,
and
their muscles have muscles.
And they're beating the shit out of some couple.
Yeah, and they're like, oh no! And then like you hear the roar of the motorcycle, and they're like, oh fuck, it's Ghost Rider. And Vengeance pulls up on his bone bike.
Yeah, his bike is a lot sweeter than
Ghost Rider.
It's a lot like Lobo's bike, but it's on fire.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, it's not Ghost Rider. It's me, Vengeance, and I'm here to kick your ass or whatever.
Yeah, pretty much.
He like runs over a guy and lights him on fire.
He lights one guy on fire. He does a vent. He's just like, I'm not like Ghost Rider who'll just like stare at you and make you catatonic. He's like, I'll kick right. your ass.
He's like, I kill.
I will kill you. I don't give a shit. I will burn you, fight yeah. you, whatever.
Yeah, so he does. And he's like, oh, that was fun. And then he goes to like stand on the dock, and this demon.
What's Mephisto, I think.
I think it's Mephisto. But, you know, it's weird because Mephisto here is drawn in a way where he has really long nipples. So he kind of looks like a nursing dog.
He looks like long nipples. It doesn't look like Mephisto as you normally know right. him. He just looks, he kind of looks like a Muppet.
Yeah, he does.
Like a really weird looking Muppet.
Yeah, like back when they were doing like, you know, Dark Crystal and shit like that. Like those weird fucking Muppets, that's when.
He looks like a Skeksy fucked. Fucked an orangutan.
Yeah, kind of. Because he's got like, so he's got these like really long.
I just noticed those nipples, and now I'm not okay with it.
How could you not notice them? That's the only thing I saw yesterday. They're like, but they're really like, they're nipples, and they're very lovingly drawn, but they're long, and they're like hanging and pointing down. So it looks like a dog who's been nursing.
Mm.
And then he also has like a very rounded belly. So he kind of looks like he's like either 5 months pregnant or he just had a baby. And hasn't gone back to like his normal size yet. It's a weird, weird drawing.
Yeah. And so he's like, look.
It's postpartum Mephisto.
Postpartum Mephisto, guys. The Midnight Suns did not get into that as much in the 90s. That was not a.
But the baby that Mephisto had. That,
yeah. Wizard Magazine would have a field.
Well, I mean, like, look, he's got, he's even got like a wrap around his
Yeah, he's got a little shawl.
And that's where the baby goes. It's like one of those little baby wrap things.
He's got baby Bjorn?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know what those... You know what I'm talking about. Those, like, wraps.
Isn't that like in the Scribblenauts when you take away the baby from the pregnant
character? Oh, yeah, then it's postpartum whatever character. Because you can make any of them pregnant.
You can make Batman pregnant.
And then it's postpartum Batman.
And then you can make Catwoman eat the baby?
Yeah.
That game.
I think there's one where, like, if you make... trying to remember because I got it to do it once and I forget how. Catwoman had a baby, so she was postpartum Catwoman, but it was Batman's baby because you can't make him fuck because I've tried.
Oh yeah,
but then it's like fatherly Batman or whatever, like that he's like, and that's just they don't do anything different. It just says fatherly Batman.
Yeah, and they just kind of have like because you could.
It's a weird game, guys.
It's fun. I would actually love it if they made a. I bought you a DS.
You did.
Specifically for that game.
Yes. I know.
So. Yes. No, I didn't buy you a DS. It was a 3DS.
3DS.
I'm a good husband.
specifically so because I really wanted to play that game because I really wanted to see what would happen. And like, if you tell Batman like to take his clothes off or something, he goes, how would that help? And you're like, I don't know. It just sounds fun.
And just do it. Naked Batman. He's like, no.
No, they won't get naked.
I also bought you that Blackgate Arkham Asylum game.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
That's really fucking hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's hard.
So basically, he's like, postpartum Mephisto is like, go get Ghost Rider and bring me the medallion on his motorcycle. And he's like, why? He's like, just fucking do it.
Do it because I fucking said so, bro.
Because I guess I'm in charge of you.
So then we see a moving truck.
So basically, okay. So I'm just going to kind of, because I don't really know the premise of this here, but basically, Blaze and Ghost Rider
and a bunch of other people. So what I understand here is they were all at a circus, and Vengeance came and attacked the circus. Uh-huh. So whether or not they're performers there or whatever. So then they all got in the back killed the Graysons, got in the back of this moving truck where apparently all of them had to sit there while Ghost Rider's head just like flames the fucking enclosed space and makes it terrible and hot. And so they like drove this moving truck to Brooklyn, I'm guessing.
Greenwich Village.
And then he opens up the thing and he's like, all right, guys, we're here. Let's go up to my apartment. It's Johnny Blaze or whatever.
That's not his apartment, is it?
Or is it Ghost Rider's apartment? Somebody's apartment. Because Ghost Rider's like, Ghost Rider then, he's a flaming head guy here. And then he transforms back into Dan.
Yeah.
And then one of them, and I don't remember if it's Dan or Blaze, is like, here, let's just go upstairs to this apartment I'm staying at.
Okay.
Right? It says that somewhere.
Okay, so apparently he has a sweet loft.
Yeah, a sweet loft. And then, but there's this one guy.
How does he pay for this loft?
I don't know, but this one guy, this like monster man, he's like, this place fucking is this dump of an apartment. I'm like, fuck you, that apartment's sweet as shit. Like, it's like a loft. It's got a nice open air layout. This is a nice place.
This is also very nice because I don't know what kind of unless if he's using all of his stuntman salary from being the original Ghost Rider.
Maybe.
Johnny Blaze was, and he paid for it like this.
Maybe.
Because this guy should be good. And he gives him coffee, and he's like, shut up and drink your coffee.
It's a place for
them to, like, bitching about my apartment.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to be here. This apartment's dump. I'm like, that apartment's fucking cool. Do you know how I would love an apartment like that? Fuck you.
So he goes out. So Dan goes out to get some food for the people.
He's like, I'm going to go pick up some shit so you guys, and this woman with no eyes stops. I don't know what she's doing. She just looks constantly sad.
Well, because she has no eyes.
I know, but like, she's like, all she does is just look like frowny.
Because she has no eyes.
Yeah, but you can still smile when you have no eyes.
She has a great rack with no eyes.
Buddy doesn't have any eyes, and he looks like he's smiling.
Buddy is happy. Buddy the cat.
Buddy the cat has no eyes, but he's really cute.
And apparently, so there's this guy called the Caretaker, who I don't...
He works in a cemetery. He's literally a caretaker.
He's like the Undertaker, but yeah, like...
he is, but he's like blonde, and he wears army fatigues.
Army fatigues, and he's jacked as fuck.
Yeah, so basically the whole idea is that Vengeance has to go make the Caretaker bleed, because then in his blood, he will see what Ghost Rider's doing.
Okay.
So...
that's more of that I got. That's more. You got more from it than I did.
So he's like talking to some lady who's like, I don't know, mourning a child.
He's talking to Dan Ketch's
wife, girlfriend,
mom.
Sister.
Oh, because Dan's sister Barbara was killed in the initial time when because they're in the I, I fucking, oh, I should probably understand this better. But basically, Dan and Barbara Ketch were in a graveyard, and somebody, this alien, this monster blackout, killed his sister and ripped out Dan's throat, and he touched the bike, and he became Ghost Rider. And now, you know,
his mom is sad.
Mom is sad, and caretaker's like,
shouldn't have been there, bitch.
He's like, you should have come to me, because I'm trying, because I guess they tried to raise, his mom tried to raise the daughter from the dead, which
was a bad move,
which never works out.
No,
he's all, you know, she's just like, oh, so sorry, whatever.
Right. So he like goes, and by the way, I did want to point out that Johnny Blaze in this book has lovely hair.
He's got ponytail. Again, ponytails.
Great.
He's got some great Kevin Nash hair.
He really does. So then we cut to Dan in a convenience store buying shampoo, because I'm assuming he is buying it.
He's in
for
the
Johnny
okay.
Blaze. He's in the shampoo
aisle.
Oh,
you're right. Okay.
It's his shampoo. And I'm assuming
Dan,
he's like,
Dan is in that because
he's like, go get a hot oil treatment. I've got some split ends.
He's like, I need you to buy. He's like, I'm going to go buy food for this eyeless woman and this ungrateful imp. And she's like, and he's like, well, make sure you buy me some hair care products.
Please because look at these split ends.
Look at how awesome my hair is.
I've got to do like a treatment and the whole thing. And then, I don't know, some different thugs break in.
So thugs come in basically to hold up the place.
Literally one Chinese guy in this entire book, and he gets shot like instantly because I guess he works there.
Because it's New York. So they have all the, you know, the multicultural people working the things. That's kind of how it is. And Marvel's always done that.
Yeah. So he gets shot instantly, and Dan's like, don't do it. And he's like, oh, you want to be a hero? And then
he's like, no, I'm actually Ghost Rider.
I'm fucking Ghost Rider. Look at me. I have spikes and chains. And the guy's like, ah, fuck. So he kind of gets down to kicking these guys' asses.
Yeah. But then we cut back to
Caretaker,
and he's like, I gotta go find Ghost Rider. And
but somebody's there, and it's Vengeance.
Yeah, Vengeance is gigantically spiked in purple.
And he's like, oh, I'm gonna make you bleed. And he like slams this guy around pretty hard, and he doesn't start bleeding until like the bottom of the next page.
Let's see what makes you bleed. This caretaker, he spits a lot in this book.
Oh yeah, no, he does. He's spitting in everybody's face.
He's like patooey. I'm like, the Iron Sheik is like, ah, patooey. Anyways, so he gets him to bleed. What does he do?
I don't know. He smashes his face into a wall. He's not bleeding. He like throws him somewhere, and then finally he starts bleeding. He's like, cool, let's get more blood.
Cool blood.
So Ghost Rider is having a fight.
Oh yeah.
In this little bodega, and the cops show up.
He's petting staring the fuck out of dudes.
Yeah.
In the bodega, and then the cops come out because apparently the cops already got wind that there's a it's pretty efficient for the cops
to show up really quick. The guy who got shot tripped the alarm.
Either that or it's been taking hours. He's just been fighting these guys for hours and the cops finally got wind. It's like, hey, it looks like something's going on in there. Horrible Gotham cops here.
Yeah, pretty much. And so as the cops, you know, they're like, come on out. And they're just like surrounding this place. And Ghost Rider's like, God damn it. How many times have I done this? Well, that's when Vengeance like rides up and like burns all the cop cars to the ground.
Yeah.
And then he like throws Caretaker down. And he's like, come out, Ghost Rider. Let's do this. And then they fight.
Yeah. They start having a big brawl.
Yeah.
Big chainy knifey brawl.
Right. And then Johnny Blaze, who's like, where's my shampoo?
Yes. Also, he's wearing his sunglasses in the house. He wears sunglasses at night. He's one of those guys.
In his own home, too.
Do you think he dresses up like Mystery and goes out and picks up women, too?
Yes, he does.
He's a pickup artist?
I kind of do.
I kind of think he's a sergeant.
Yeah, he's doing fucking magic tricks.
He's doing fucking magic tricks.
God damn it.
He's negging girls. He's necking girls with no eyes. He's like, too bad you don't have eyes. She's like, what? I don't have eyes. What's going on?
He's like, you'd be really pretty if you had eyes.
He's like, oh, I'm just kidding. We don't have sex. It's a great rack. Anyways, if you can see me, I have great hair.
Yeah, you can feel it.
You want to feel my hair? It feels pretty great. I just imagined right before this happened, she was...
He was making
the girl with no eyes feel his hair. He's like, hang on.
He's like, and she's like, it feels kind of dry. And he's like, God damn it, I need that conditioner.
He's like, let me go through where Dan is. Oh, he's outside ghost ridering. Okay.
He's like, God damn it, I need my shampoo. So he's like, I better go help him or I'm never going to get my shampoo. And my conditioner, my deep conditioning treatment.
I need my VO5 or whatever.
Keeps these locks silky and smooth.
Vince McMahon would hire him in a heartbeat because he has a great head of hair.
Because he's got hair and that's it. That's all you really need. You need to be big and you need to have hair.
He's probably in good shape. He could be like a luchador. He could be like a well-conditioned Rey Mysterio. Because to be honest, the WWE has not... There hasn't been many... well-conditioned luchadors.
There was
Juventud Guerrero, who did have long hair, but he has a very wet, stringy hair.
Oh yeah.
So you want to have a guy like him, and Vince McMahon would be like, "That's the kind of man I need."
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, look at Roman Reigns.
Oh,
that dude drips his way to the ring because he's so wet.
Roman Reigns.
It's really gross. But Vince, I'm sure, is just like, yes, he's handsome and he has hair.
You know, he's just like, dude, hair, handsome. Oh, yeah. That's Vince's monologue in Gorilla. Mm. He just says that. Anyway, so Vengeance and Ghost Rider have a big fiery chain fight.
Yeah, and like Ghost Rider is able to like make his chain like a chain javelin.
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that.
Neither did I. But like,
he can do stuff with his chains. Like, he can like whip his chains, kind of like how Archangel, can whip his wings.
Right.
And shoot out the flechettes, the metal shards.
Yeah.
So he can kind of do that with chains.
Right.
Which kind of would make them shorter, I guess. But he's got so many chains. There's so many chains.
They're like sentient chains.
They're mystic chains, you know? Yeah. It's a demon chains.
So he like stabs Vengeance with his chain javelin and Vengeance like
chain javelin.
That hurts. And he's like, yep, that sure does. Because I've literally impaled you on this stick. Chain stick.
He's saying, so then there's like, there's dialogue in this stuff. And I'm trying to like what's he saying? Like, when my family and I have suffered worse hands at yours, Zarathos. Okay, so Zarathos is, because I haven't been taught. Okay, so Ghost Rider talks and his speech bubbles have yellow flames around it.
Uh-huh.
Vengeance talks, there are orange red flames around it.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of get mixed up. And it looks like.
Ghost Rider doesn't say a whole hell of a lot.
He doesn't say a lot. He's like, I will show you the meaning of vengeance, your name, Vengeance, and then he stabs him.
He's like, that hurts.
But it's like he's talking, but Vengeance is like talking all the way to the street. And I'm like, what do you see? He's like, well, I'm strong and whatever. And
I've got big boots and spikes and
I can do this. Ouch.
And so I don't exactly know what happens here because he like pulls this thing out and then he knocks Ghost Rider back somehow. And then instead of stomping on Ghost Rider when he's down, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go. Oh, no, that's not what happens.
He's about to finish him off.
That's what happens.
And then the Caretaker shows up.
Caretaker has this ability to, like, green. Like, I don't. It's like a green zappy.
Yeah, that's basically it. He green zappies him.
And he green zappies Vengeance. And Vengeance is like, ah. And then Ghost Rider is going to go kick Vengeance's ass, and the Caretaker's like, nah, man, run away. Let me handle this because he's going to be up soon. You have to
go. Blaze shows up and is like, I'll do it. Because this is Blaze here.
Right, but they're just about to do it, and the Caretaker tells them not to. Tells them, go, just run. Which doesn't make any sense because all three of them teaming up on him really would have ended him. But
instead of
doing that, they listen to the Caretaker, who has one eye swollen shut, and Blaze like drags Ghost Rider away.
Which I think is kind of funny.
Yeah, it's like, no, we gotta go, man. We gotta go find the apartment and like read the journals or something.
Oh, they're gonna go read. They're gonna have a little club.
Yeah, he's like, let's go do my hair, and then we're gonna read.
I gotta go watch
The House of Sand and Fog.
Did you get my conditioner? That girl with no eyes said my hair felt a little bit stringy.
It's feeling dry.
And then Vengeance comes too, and Vengeance is like, you know, the Caretaker spits in his face, and then
he explodes
and disappears. Or no, wait.
I think he disappears because he's gone. I don't because know if he killed himself.
He goes, I'm getting too old for this. He does like a Dandy Glover and then he explodes.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh yeah, because he's like, yeah, his hand's here.
Oh, so he like exploded and killed himself and it didn't do anything.
He turns into like a dust, but like his hand is still there.
Yeah. And then so that's why they're like, come on, we have to go unravel the mystery of the journals or whatever that guy says there at the end.
Let's get the answers to these riddles in his letter.
Yeah. You're like, what? This is the first time anybody's mentioned a letter. What the fuck are you guys talking about?
It probably
about?
Was mentioned earlier, and we just...
It wasn't in this book.
All I remember is, like, he got to the apartment.
And they hung out.
And
there
then
was a guy being a pain in the ass drinking coffee.
And then he went and got food.
And then he went to go get some shampoo.
Because apparently there was some sort of bullshit going on. Like, actually, so Caretaker didn't even do what he set out to do. Maybe right. did he give him a letter?
I don't think so. I don't see him holding anything.
Because Caretaker should, because Vengeance brings Caretaker.
Right. And he just drops him on the floor.
And he drops him off, and then Caretaker shows up, he does his green, and then they're like, well, we gotta read this letter,
yeah,
you know?
We gotta go.
Because basically Caretaker was like, because he was gonna leave anyways to go find Ghost Rider to tell him
something about
his mom, or about Barbara Ketch's mom, or whatever.
I don't. Well, it doesn't matter. It does. None of it matters.
No, it definitely doesn't matter.
Nope. The letter columns in this booklet is called Easy Writers.
Fuck you guys. It's terrible.
So they run away. The end.
That's it.
That's it. That's the end of the book.
That's it for Ghost Rider number Flebbididoo. Ghost Rider number 39 from July 1993. Mm-hmm. Would you read the next issue of this?
I don't really care.
I come across a Ghost Rider and occasionally I get very nostalgic for the 90s and I'll want to read it.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
I have a few of those and then I kind of don't. I kind of go, what'd I do?
Yeah.
Like, why am I doing this?
Why did I do this? Why?
Why? Why? Why? Where am I getting out of this?
Yeah.
So I probably would. I don't understand. I feel like I missed something while we were talking about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I'm kind of like just upset about it. Now I'm upset.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, that's it for this book. And we will be back with our next one.
Hey, hi. How are you? I'm Jamie Flam, and I am the artistic director of the Hollywood Improv. Basically, that means I'm the one responsible for booking comedians, producing shows, and making sure every night at the club is magical. You might even call me the gatekeeper. Okay, so not really, but maybe, I don't know. Outside of my job at the Improv, I also perform and write comedy, which means I sit in front of many gatekeepers myself. It's an interesting dynamic, but it's helped me learn a lot as well. Now I host a podcast about it. Each week, I talk with bookers, producers, decision makers, performers, and more.
Hey, this is Cole Stratton.
This is Janet Varney.
This is Troy Conrad.
This is Todd Glass, and you're listening to Gatekeeper.
It's an inside look at the art of saying yes and no. Also, there are sound effects. Be sure to subscribe to Gatekeeper on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can find more info at SideshowNetwork.tv.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network. We are going to jump into our next book. It is JSA versus Cobra, number 3 of 6.
Mm-hmm.
So JSA versus Cobra, number 3 from October 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Going into aughts.
Yep.
Which is rare for us, I feel.
This is a very I did want to talk about the cover.
Oh, we got to talk about the cover. So JSA versus Cobra. Cobra is the evil cult bullshit villain in DC.
Yeah.
And the JSA, of course, you know, the JSA, it's got all sorts of old heroes, new heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And on this particular cover, you go ahead and talk about.
Well, we've got, you know, Power Girl and her boobs front and center. And then there's Mr. Terrific is on here, too. And there's like a Cobra agent. It looks like he's jumping down on them. But the way it's drawn, it also just looks like he's falling from the sky.
It looks like
You
know what I thought it was, actually? I thought it was a statue.
Right. Falling over?
Like they were like, it was like the Lenin statue falling in the Soviet Union, but it just happened to be this.
Yeah. No, it's, I don't know if that guy's supposed to be dead because he's kind of smoking.
he's smoking, and also I just noticed this, and I don't know why this is, hold on here. Why is he saying ha?
I don't know. I don't know if that's him or if it's somebody else. I have no clue what's happening in that
picture. Yeah, wait, why is he saying ha?
I don't know. Or if it's somebody else, because it's like, not a speech bubble.
But it's also, but it also looks like he's falling. There's like he's falling into a pool. It's a weird cover.
Yeah, it's just a really weird.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of looks like a body just like falling, and then like ha is kind of like sky written almost because it's not coming out of anybody's mouth.
Did an editor look at this and say, "Yes, this makes sense"?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. After reading this book, that doesn't make any sense. I guess sort of because it has Power Girl. Mr. Terrific.
Power Girl and Mr. Terrific are pretty much our focal characters
and
here.
It takes place at night in a city, like, because there's a city in the background, and then there's a Cobra guy. Like, I guess.
But why are these also like blurry images of people standing on a ledge?
I don't know.
Behind him, like, as if like it's a pool.
I don't know.
And like he's underwater.
Yeah, is he floating face down?
It could be
water?
Like, you know, like here's the water, and it just happens that here's the city with Wonder Power
right, but
Girl
it's
and
red. Like it's yeah. I don't know. Whatever. So that's that cover.
Yeah.
And then we start here with all the heroes walking on the street down a hallway, and they've had a really hard
day. Well, they're back into the JSA Brownstone.
Right. And they've had a really hard day because I guess there was like a huge explosion in Metropolis and it killed all sorts of people. So you can see like a building on TV. It's just 9/11-ing it on TV. And they're very sad. Obviously, they're like, oh, those poor people. Like there's weeping.
Yeah. They're all really upset by this. And, you know, you got, you know, Judo Master and you got Sentinel and you got, Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Jay Garrick, you got Trisha Terrific, Stargirl,
all sorts of people,
Liberty Bell, and
there's a bunch of them.
Our Man, Steel, Jesus Christ, they're all fucking
there's
here.
A lot of them, and they're like, Wildcat. They're like, oh, you know, we're all gonna go just relax, but there's like, you know, unease between all of us because our lives have been changed or whatever.
Well, like, Mr. Terrific and apparently Mr. Terrific and Power Girl,
they have a thing,
but there's a lot, some tension going on, and there's, Sasha Bordeaux. I don't know who that. I should know who that is.
I don't know.
But she's here in the hospital, and he's upset about her being that. And then apparently,
I don't know who that guy is.
Well, first of all, I should have did more research on this, but I just didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So apparently, like Liberty Bell and Our Man are gonna fuck.
Oh yeah, because I was calling that man the Time Turner.
No, that's Our Man.
I know, but
it's Our Man like 3, I think.
Yeah, I know, but I was calling him the Time Turner because he's like wearing like one of those things around his neck.
Yeah, because
like
that's
Harry Potter.
This is our thing.
Anyway, so they're like gonna go have grief sex, I assume, to like make themselves feel alive or whatever. And then like somebody who's an actual cat person.
His name is Tom. Because they're like, because she's like. Just what the doctor ordered. All right. Hey, Tom, you look lost.
And he's like, I smell something. And they're like, what? And he like finds a janitorial closet, and they open it, and there's a dead body in this closet.
Body.
And the first thing Our Man says is Power Girl's going to be so upset. Not, oh my God, there's a dead body.
Holy shit,
there's
a corpse.
Like, and then there's no feeling behind this at all. They're just like, oh no, because maybe since a building didn't fall on this guy, they don't feel bad for him. They're like, I only feel bad for the people in Metropolis who had buildings fall on
I only
them.
Feel bad for
you're
people
in a closet. Eh, like,
anything could have happened. You could have,
we're
you
just
know.
Gonna worry about Power Girl. You could have drank bleach. I don't know why you're here.
You could have had a bleach snack. could have been huffing paint in here.
Yeah, doing some bleach smoothies. Like, we have no sympathy for you. So that's like their first reaction is that Power Girl's going to be upset.
Actually, the title of this story is Engines of Faith, Part 3, Misdirection. What the fuck does any of that mean?
It doesn't mean anything. At least it's not called fucking Endgame. That's
game.
Probably the next issue.
So they take this body, apparently, and they...
Dr. Midnight's doing...
Because he's, you know, the Master Surgeon, and all the superheroes are watching in their costumes. You know, apparently... I'm assuming after Liberty Bell and Our Man fucked because they're like, oh man, more grief. I'm so hard.
I love it when I cry.
I get a boner for an hour. That's my power.
That's why it's called Our Man.
Our boner.
He was Viagra before there was Viagra.
He was, yeah. But it's like, you know, he can manage, you know, he doesn't get erections for 12 hours.
No, just an hour.
And has to see his doctor. He's like, I just got an hour for my dick. Yeah. I'm hot, completely stiff for an hour.
The sadder I am, the harder I am.
I'm watching, you know, like
those Sarah McLachlan commercials come on with the animals.
It's like, I'm just so fucking,
all I do is I just get fucking hard.
Just watching, the last episode of MASH or whatever.
That really sad video of the last 9/11 dog when they put her down.
What?
Did you see that video?
No, don't tell me about it though.
It was really sad.
Or like any of those things you see.
It was an honorable thing, but like they like saluted her as she like walked into the vet's office. It was so sad. Oh my God. I was just weeping. But our man, he would be just rock hard.
He would be saluting her, but he'd also be fucking stiff. And he'd be like, hey.
He'd be like, it's a two-gun salute.
Two-gun salute. I kind of wish this was a facet of the character, because this would make any book with him in it much more interesting.
It really would.
He's like, it'd be like, anytime like something horrible would happen, and he'd be like, "Are you hard?"
Yeah.
Like, I'm wearing spandex. It's like it's just like, I see your dick print from like a mile away. Clark like, was like, Clark could see really far, yeah. And Clark is like, why
don't you ever wear like something that keeps that in check?
You wear like two dancer belts or something.
Yeah, like come on, dude, dancing belt plus a cup, like something.
Okay.
It's like, nope.
Truth be told, we can probably get a good hour out of just this.
I know we can.
We could really spend, I could see us spending an hour just being like, thinking of so many things about our man's grief boners. Anyways, so Dr. Midnight's doing this autopsy, and he finds like
dirt
or some sort of like
mud
or something. Yeah. And so he turns to Sandman.
It's the Sandman, yeah.
But they just call him, at this time, he's just Sand.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's whatever. And he's like, hey, you know,
yeah? Do your thing.
If this was a Lego game, he'd just be like, you know, he'd have a little circle. The doctor would have a little circle in front of him, and you walk up one of your guys, and it'd be like,
and it would be Sandman face.
It'd be a Sandman face, because the other guy'd be like,
yeah.
And you'd have to get Sandman. He'd be like, walk, 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 dirt.
Yeah, and do whatever. Dig, dig, dig. I'm assuming. I don't know. Whatever.
I've been playing a lot of Lego Marvel Avengers, and
Sean loves the Lego game.
I could talk about. That's another thing I spent an hour on. I do love just like the cat calls that you do when you fly around New York and all those things, like when somebody's like, watch out, he's going to monologue at you. You know, I could spend forever talking about it.
They're fun little games.
But yeah, so he does this thing with this dirt, and he's like, oh, well, there's this in here. It's like he's like a sommelier tasting some wine.
Yeah, he's like,
he's like, this. I taste hints of oak and nuts. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it tastes like Opal City.
Yeah. He determines that it's some Opal City.
Because it's got some radiation in it that's like Stargirl's staff.
Yeah.
And that's where she's from or whatever. And so Power Girl and her huge tits are like, all right, to Opal City, because that's where these clues are leading us. Mm-hmm. And obviously Cobra wants us to go there.
Cobra wants us to go there because he wants to blow up Cobra City. Yeah. Or he's going to blow up Opal City.
Yeah.
That's where he's going
to
strike next.
That's what he just fucking did to Metropolis. So Mr. Terrific is at his big computer, and he's thinking about it.
Can I just say something real quick about Mr. Terrific?
That he looks like a Grease knockoff?
Yes.
Like, he looks like a cast-off and, like, a knockoff version of Grease.
I don't understand him overall.
I don't understand his look. Like, he's got a big T on his face.
He's got a big T, which is not... It's just kind of like it's painted on.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Because it moves with everything of his features.
Yeah.
He has those balls, those T balls,
those
or whatever
things
he calls them. And I'm aware of these things. I'm aware of this stuff that he does.
Right, right.
You know, but
super
I don't.
Smart.
But I don't. Yeah, super smart. And he's got these balls. And I mean, and he didn't even have like his own book at one point. Yeah. I don't even know. I don't really know
his deal. And like, he's got a black leather jacket on that has a huge T painted on the back of it in blue. That's why I think he looks like a Grease cast off, because it should say like the T-Birds or some bullshit. And it just says Terrific.
It's true. Okay. But
so he's going to be in like the knockoff Grease, where instead of Grease Lightning, they're going to sing Normal Auto. And it's like, go normal auto, you're going the speed limit now. Normal auto, go normal auto, put into the stop sign, then you're gonna stop. You know, it's like that sort of
did
shit.
Did you just make that up?
Yes,
that
was, I did.
That was good, babe.
Thanks.
You're gonna be on a sketch show or something. I liked it. Guys, did you like that? I liked that.
It's ridiculous.
You danced and everything.
I did. I did a little hand dance. This is like jazz handies that you guys can't see.
This is why people like our show, because they're like, oh, husband and wife, so happy with each other. And I was genuinely entertained by that, because I was like, man, that's tight. That's tight.
It's just because I know the Grease musical so well that
that
I could
too.
Do that.
That definitely helped.
I've watched Grease so many times.
So he's got this jacket though, and I think it's stupid. Okay, first of all, the jacket's stupid. It's got terrific written in the T.
Right.
Written in cursive, like he's fucking Ric Flair wearing a robe.
Right. It's terrible. And it's terrible.
Is he Los Jaquitos?
That's what right with from the Simpsons.
Yes. He's like, I will burn with my custom jacket on.
And he's like.
I've made that joke so many times to people.
Yeah, they don't get it.
No, well, but there was a wrestler. Actually, one time, real quick story. We went to a Denny's to stock wrestlers back in the day, mm-hmm. And one of the wrestlers showed up wearing a WrestleMania custom jacket, and so we just made fun of that guy from that corner. It's like Stevie Richards wearing his WrestleMania custom jacket. It's like Los Chiquitos Day WrestleMania. You know, Vince McMahon's got one.
Oh yeah,
Mr. McMahon has a few of those. Him and Triple H, they're all in Los Chiquitos. They probably go bowling together as Los Chiquitos.
Yeah. So like, Mr. Terrific and his terrible jacket, they're like thinking. He's like, well, I can tell that the guy's been here. Like, he's just teasing us.
And he put a corpse in our thing. He left
a corpse here, but there's a pattern. And then like, Mr. Terrific starts like scanning the names of like who died in that Metropolis attack, and it turns out 92% of them are Cobra agents. So
basically they're sacrificing their own sleeper cells for some reason.
Like, but,
which I guess is where the misdirection part of this title comes in.
Right. And they're like, well, he was here, and Power Girl comes in and she's like, what do you mean? And he's like, no, this guy came and it's sleight of hand and he's showing us one thing and he's doing another. But if you go to Opal City, it's just more bullshit.
It's more of a trap.
It's a trap. Like you were playing right into his hands.
It's a trap.
Like, well, you know, we kind of have to. So
it's the only lead we have.
Right. So we got to do it. So they go to Opal City. And.
What?
Oh, there's some like Cobra agents are like opening up, I don't know, toxic things.
Yeah,
I guess. And they're like, oh, Faith took Kali Yuga, blah, blah, blah. And then Jay Garrick is like, yoink. And he takes them. And then they start fighting. And then Power Girl is there and people start fighting and it's just a big fucking fight.
Yeah, big fight.
Atom Smasher's there.
Yeah, they're all here. Yeah,
there's a lot of them.
Here's the thing too, that these are just regular geeks.
Yeah.
And like
and they're just fighting like regular people. And they
who's
just
this
like,
guy?
I don't know.
Who is that guy?
I don't know. Who's that?
I know her. She's got a name. I forgot what it is.
But like, these are regular people.
But who's this guy? This guy looks like, for lack of a better term, looks like Amazing Man meets Louis Farrakhan.
Kind of, yeah.
Because he's dressed like in this weird Amazing Man's colors.
Right.
Not Amazing Man. Amazing Man.
Right. Yeah. This is what's weird is because these are just like regular Cobra agents. There's nothing superpowered about them. They're holding guns. And these fuckers are just unleashing the power of super-powered people onto them. Like, Hawkman is there. Hawkman is a big fucking gun. And he's just like,
oh, he has mace.
The fuck out of people with his mace. And like, Atom Smasher is huge. And like, yeah.
There should be no contest here.
No, it is. And there is no contest. They basically slaughter these people.
Well, no, they basically start slaughtering them. And then like, something happens.
Oh, then
a bunch
of snakes show up.
Then they turn into like a bunch of They turn into cobras. They don't turn into cobras, but they get sacrificed.
Out of their mouth.
And they start coming out of the mouth, and they're all
so
like,
I guess they were like, all of them had swallowed a nest full of cobra eggs.
Oh no, there's some sort of like sacrifice thing.
Yeah, so
guy, again,
die.
It's like they're like, oh, they're sacrificing themselves. They're all dead.
Yeah. It's a setup. They're all
dying.
Like,
what do you mean they're all dead? You were gonna splatter them anyways.
Yeah. So Mr. Terrific's like, I'm gonna go to Starman Museum. Because apparently that's where Cobra has taken over. this place and there's like all these snakes. Mr. Terrific's like, his jacket, again, giant T on the back, and then on down the arm it says like fair play.
Because that's a Mr. Actually, that's the original Mr. Terrific from like the 40s and 50s, he had like a thing that said fair play. There was something, but he's just kind of, it's kind of like an homage jacket, but it's literally like
it's like
a custom jacket for it's like, hey man, I really like the Mr. Triff from the 40s. I'm gonna wear this sweet jacket.
Right. There, but it's like it's also his superhero garb. There's no way he can like blend into a crowd.
No.
Because this it's huge. And it says his name and it's got letters all over it. Like there's no way
it's out of control
sneaking into anywhere. So he goes to this place.
Yeah, so he goes to this place and there's snakes everywhere, and then he runs. He's looking for Jason Cobra, whoever this guy is. So there's like some particular Cobra agent guy that's in charge that he's looking for. I should know again.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
The concept of Cobra, the concept of Cobra in DC doesn't. It's just like an ongoing cult.
Yeah.
And there's like, sometimes there's a guy in charge. It's not just one guy that's Cobra. It's not just like Cobra Commander.
Right.
There's just Cobra.
Yeah.
But it's always like what they call either. It's hard to remember because you either reference a guy or you reference the cult.
A group. Right.
You know, so he's there, and then him and Terrific are going to start fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Get to the fighting. And basically, you know, he's a bit more enhanced than Terrific was anticipating.
Yeah.
And
there's snakes.
And there's snakes. Snakes not on a train.
No. Snakes in a house or whatever.
Snakes in a museum.
Snakes in a museum.
Which actually would be a night at the museum for Snakes in the Museum. Tom Lennon and Ben Grant, get on that. I think Ben Stiller would just jump on it. You can CGI snakes.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
If you do snakes on a plane and CGI all the snakes.
Yeah, you can get Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, yes, that'd be great.
And he'll be like, I just wanted to take my kids to this, my grandkids to this museum, and now we're locked inside, and now there's snakes again.
And
I'm tired of all these motherfucking snakes in this motherfucking museum.
Does he live? Actually, I never saw snakes in a plane. If he lives at the end, he could be like.
I'm assuming he must live at the end.
He comes in, and he's like, motherfucking snakes in this motherfucking museum.
Right.
And he's the guy. Oh, man. See, this is
but
great.
But see, you can't do it anymore because you can't have Teddy Roosevelt.
Why?
Because it was Robin Williams.
But Teddy Roosevelt's there. Maybe they got FDR.
So they have somebody else.
Maybe there's some other president. Maybe there's...
That's true. It could be another president.
Maybe William Taft is there. You know,
he's stuck in a bathtub.
He just flies out of the bathtub. He's like, there's a snake in my bathtub. Night at the Museum starring William Taft in the bathtub.
He's put wheels on it. Just drives around.
Or you can see... I mean, come on. How funny would that be? Who could play? Like, you know, Bobby Moynihan could play.
Sure.
William Taft in the bathtub, and you could just.
Bobby Moynihan is fat enough to be William Taft.
But you don't have to have him be that. You could just.
Yeah, that's
maybe
true.
You could CGI some extra fat on him.
Sure.
And
Actually, it should be Kevin James, but I don't want to give Kevin James any more work.
I'm just thinking about like the behind the scenes footage of a green screen with a tub in front of it that's flying, and like Bobby
like
Moynihan
like
dressed with a big weird mustache, being like, oh, it's like, what the fuck are we spending
Onward
money on?
Snakes.
I'm going to whack your snakes with my towel.
And it's got the what's his face from Lord of the Rings, Andy
Serkis.
Yeah, and he does all the snakes.
Is he all the snakes?
He's the snakes, and he's just like in a suit.
This is a great movie.
This is the best movie.
I need to find somebody to tell right now. I need to find Hollywood.
Oh, I think we're telling Hollywood.
Maybe
right
what
now.
I'll go downstairs at the improv stage. I'll just lay there.
Okay, until somebody comes.
Until
in?
Somebody with Hollywood comes in, I'll hide there.
Oh yeah,
and then when somebody from like a Hollywood guy, like say if Dane Cook shows up.
Oh yeah,
to do a hot. To
you
do a,
definitely want to pitch this movie to Dane Cook
to do a to do a tight 10 or whatever he's gonna do. I'll come off and be. I was like, I got a movie for you, big guy.
And then he'll get arrested.
How have I not done this idea for any? I've worked in this building for about almost a year. I should be doing this every Saturday.
Yeah. I mean. We don't have that much money, so I don't know how much I could bail you out. of jail.
No. The company, the levity will just be, you know, from whatever the, you know, sideshow just be like, no, he's one of our guys. He's okay.
This guy literally ruins every show every week.
He just shows up and he's got to be pitching. Actually, Adam Sandler comes here on stage. Well,
there you go.
I think he'd be down with this.
As long as you promise to send him on vacation somewhere, him and his entire family.
The museum is in Thailand.
And don't make him wear anything other than sweatpants. He would be in your movie.
He didn't wear sweatpants. He could be like a security guard with sweatpants. And then Samuel L. Jackson shows up.
It's called casual security. Casual security day. It's just like a
hoodie. He's got like a jacket. Like a Nerf gun.
Because they're not real security. They're just casual security.
This is probably the best idea I've ever had.
It's true.
I don't know if it's as good as King Tootin' Slammin', which I don't know if I've shared on the show before.
I don't think you have.
Basically, the elevator pitch is King Tootin' Slammin' is the reincarnated mummy that goes on to play basketball.
Yep. King Tootin' Slammin', that's
but it. But it's not...
It's like Teen Wolf, but with a mummy.
But here's the thing. It's not like a young... He becomes like... Like a whole mummy.
No, he's a falling apart.
He's a falling apart mummy wrapped in bandages, but he's playing basketball. And there is a scene where he becomes so good at basketball that he gets endorsement deals and he does a ad for Gatorade. And he's like, sports drinks have nutrients, and he drinks it, and then it all just comes out of his body because he's a mummy. I have been trying to figure out how to create
King Tootin' Slammin'
for probably for the last 20 years in my head.
I know. You've been talking about King Tootin' Slammin' for a while.
You know what's another great idea I had? I pitched this once when we had a writing group.
Okay.
And I still think there's legs
to it. Is this Meatgate?
No.
Okay.
It's not Meatgate. Meatgate's a little bit more legit, and I think it's already been done by Rob Zombie probably. In some way. It wasn't called Meatgate. It was something a bit more like, hey, this will actually sell instead of Meatgate. You know, I had a story called, it was called Too Huge to Die. Do you remember this?
Maybe.
It was basically like Gran Torino. Clint Eastwood's Gran Torino.
Uh-huh.
But the lead character has the Andre the Giant disease. So acromegaly.
Yeah.
So basically it's like, The Big Show.
Yeah, I remember
that. But he's too, because that's what I would say about Peter Steele, is he's too huge to die.
But he died.
But it's too huge to die. It's like he's fighting the roughs, but he's too big and he just accidentally steps on them. You know, he can't get into a car to chase them. He's got to kind of, you know, walk really far. You know, I've had to research, you know, like Andre the Giant's life.
Oh, yes.
A bit more. You know, maybe he just drinks a lot of beer. Does he get drunk?
Yeah.
But that's my other one. That's more of a drama. That's more of like that's more of like something
that's
like
that's a sad look.
That's something like Leo could play.
They could just put him on stilts
and like CGI.
Well, again, they would have to do it. They didn't have to do it like they did Lord of the Rings, where it's like they film people separately and put them together.
Yes.
So
Force perspective. It's a very complicated movie. Guys.
Martin Scorsese would direct it. Because Leo would star in it.
Marty doesn't want to part of this.
Well, if Leo's in it, he'll do it. You know?
No, Clint Eastwood's going to direct it.
Oh, okay.
And Clint Eastwood, the thing about Clint Eastwood is if you write a script and he wants to direct it, it gets, there's no change.
Oh, no, it gets made.
It gets made. There's no, he's like, I love it. Bam.
Yeah, make it as is. And you're like,
all right. All right. So we are keeping all that in. Holy shit.
Every single
time. I am setting up the tent poles, guys. For Paramount's right down the street, I think we're gonna stop by there to wait.
Well, you're gonna pitch that, and I'm gonna pitch the thing that I dreamt about when we lived in Boston. I had a literal dream about.
Yes.
Which is a Halloween themed casino.
No, they made that though.
No. Wait, a movie about it?
Yes. It's called Haunted Casino.
No, it's not haunted. This was a straight rom-com, right. Remember? And like Matthew McConaughey was supposed to be in it. And it was supposed to be like people who work in a Halloween themed casino where they were like always dressed up like the Wolfman. And then. Witches and shit. And they would have to have sex
Kimmy
in it.
Kimmy Schmidt kind of did that.
Kind of, but that's more of like a singing thing. This is like two people who just like meet when they're working at a job at this Halloween themed casino and they have weird monster sex. But like just because they're dressed as monsters, but not because it's their kink.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was always going to write that. But that didn't happen because it's stupid.
one day. Well, here's Okay, we're saying all this stuff. There's a movie called Monster Trucks coming
out. That's the thing. I saw a fucking trailer for that. So anything I said is actually not that stupid if Monster Trucks
got
made. No,
it is 100% not as stupid.
Well, look up the trailer
for Monster Trucks. Not as ridiculous. It's just it's just a crazy premise.
That's kind of the thing. Like, so if anybody out there is creative and like you make your own shit, whatever it is, you're an artist, you're a writer, you're, you know, whatever. You make music. Go look up the trailer for Monster Trucks, which is coming out in January of 2017. And then realize that any idea that you've ever had really isn't that fucking stupid.
No.
Because if you watch the trailer for Monster Trucks, which is a movie that is getting made.
Yeah.
You can go.
Much resources have been placed into this January movie.
And you're like, holy shit. The fucking Halloween themed casino rom-com isn't really that fucking stupid if Monster Trucks can get made.
It's just.
Right?
It's insane idea. And I kind of, as much as it could be something where it's like, Jesus Christ, what is this? Yeah. I kind of admire that the fact that it's something like this
getting
made.
Somebody made it.
Somebody was like,
somebody believed in it enough and sold it and pitched it. And somebody else bought into it and said, good idea.
It's fucking hard to make a movie.
It is. It's hard to get that shit made.
I made a short independent feature for my grad class. And that is fucking hard. I can't imagine. I can't imagine what it takes. Well, I kind of can, but I just the dedication to put in a team of people, and not just like a few of your buddies getting together to help you out. We're talking like
professionals, union people,
craft services. I mean, all that stuff on a day on a set, and then setting up shots. I mean, all that stuff. Jesus Christ, this happened,
and doing the work.
And it's called Monster Trucks, and it's insane.
And then somebody taking it and doing post on that shit, doing the CGI. Every single day, some dude in front of a computer playing with After Effects.
Yes.
Doing that shit.
And let's be honest, and then saying that's just one movie.
Right?
They have made thousands upon millions of movies.
That are terrible.
That are just like this movie.
Yeah.
I, Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Fucking, Expendables, any Expendables.
Yeah. Well, you had star power with that one.
Doesn't matter. I'm talking regardless of the star power. We're talking like Sly Stallone wants to run and shoot somebody in the head.
Yeah.
And blow up stuff.
And
things have been
like,
blown up in public worlds.
And they're like, good idea.
And they're like, yes.
Let me give you money.
Let's give you money.
It's crazy. It's fucking crazy that like that movie made it out of development hell, which is an actual thing.
Yeah.
It's like you sell a script in Hollywood or whatever, and a lot of times they're like, "We're gonna do it," and then they just like it just sits.
It's something. It made
and
it.
No
it,
one
it made it out.
It made it out of that, and a lot of scripts never do. Scripts that are probably much better.
Fucking Drive Angry. Remember Drive Angry?
Oh shit, Drive Angry. We saw that in 3D.
That made it out. That guy and I've read about the story about that guy that wrote that. You know, who's like he's like this horror movie guy who works out of Tennessee and stuff like that, but he made like a bunch of like random movies, and it's just so like his journey and just going to do that stuff, like you read about it, just like, Jesus Christ, man, that is insane. So
so nothing is stupid, just remember that.
Nothing is impossible.
Inspired. Not even Snake Museum.
No. Not the
Night
at
the
Museum for
Snakes
in a Museum is not impossible.
We have a dream.
Anyways, we're actually almost at the end of this book, so it's kind of great. Mr. Terrific gets stabbed.
He does. Yeah, he gets stabbed.
He gets stabbed through the shoulder.
By Cobra Guy.
Cobra's got a sweet sword.
Yeah, and he's like, stabby stab. And Mr.
Stabby
Terrific's
stab.
Like, ah.
And then basically what he's saying is like, hey, I came to this museum because, as Cobra's saying, it's like, I came to this museum because Starman worked with a bunch of different scientists,
mm-hmm.
and
he took notes
and he learned how to do stuff, and he Dr. Ertl, who I think is actually was the doctor who died upon bringing Martian Manhunter to Earth,
okay,
because he saw he was like, holy shit, a Martian dead.
Oh yeah, well
that's John's origin. And basically, he's using all the inventions and all the stuff that Ted Knight, who was a scientist, the original Starman, created and worked with. And You know, and he creates his, he's created this teleportation total or portal, whatever. And, he's exploiting it. And then basically,
Mr. Terrific's like, finally got the sword out of his arm, and he's like, I'm going to get him, and I'm going to be better prepared.
And there's snakes everywhere.
And there's snakes, and there's like
snakes. There's snakes on the skylight.
There's snakes on the skylight. There's snakes wrapped around the neck of the Starman statue.
Yeah.
There are a lot of motherfucking snakes.
A lot of snakes. A
lot of snakes.
Snakes on a plane.
Snakes
in
not
a
museum.
On a plane. Snakes in a museum. So anyways, that's it. That's how it ends.
Does that have a theme song? Snakes in a museum. Snakes. Crawling along and snakes on a statue and snakes like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm gonna write a musical.
Okay. Snakes in Night of the Museum Force, the musical.
Yeah,
it's just gonna jump right to being a musical.
Yeah. Well, you can make the movie, but it's like a complimentary.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a supplementary piece.
Yeah, it's like going to see Hamilton.
Yeah, it's like you really wouldn't understand.
You buy
the movie.
CD and you go see the movie.
Yeah, you don't understand the movie unless you watch the musical.
Is Hamilton gonna be made into a movie?
I don't know. That's a really good question. You know what I'd actually really like? Because I'm not really into Hamilton. I know a lot of people are. But everybody says it's so great. And I'm surprised they haven't filmed it and done one of those Fathom Events things. Because you know they do that with stuff. Like they did that with like Phantom and...
Well, they do that with like a lot of classic stuff. Not just like random.
Right, but they do Broadway stuff too.
Yeah, but they could do that for like just about anything. They could do that...
But that's what I mean. I'm surprised they haven't done it with something that's that popular... And doesn't travel, so you want to see the original cast. I'm surprised they haven't just filmed
it. Well,
it
is coming to LA, but...
Yeah, but it's not the original cast. It's just like a cast.
But Lin-Manuel's not coming?
No, he's ending his run, I guess, in like July.
Why would you want to see it then?
Well, I don't know.
He's the guy.
He's the guy, but that's why I'm saying. I'm surprised they don't
film this.
He
is starting a CISO show.
Right.
So...
But I'm surprised they don't film this and then put it in the Fathom Events thing.
Yeah, they should.
So, you know, people in fucking Kentucky can go see.
Or
Hamilton.
You can see Night at the Museum 4, Snakes in the Museum.
Yeah,
the musical.
Which we're actually, that's the thing. I'm going to meet with him. We're going to talk about it. He's going to write some raps.
Write some raps about snakes.
About
He's like,
snakes.
Yo, the snake is going to wrap around your neck.
Yeah.
And you might have to check your motherfucking deck for other snakes.
In this museum,
there's also a deck where you eat lunch.
I got
a bunch
of snakes.
Of snakes, and there's also some rakes.
That's what you kill snakes with. Rakes.
Kill snakes with rakes. I also got a copy of The Two Jakes, which was also the sequel to Chinatown. Yeah.
The Two Jakes.
Yes. I'm a good rapper.
Yeah, you're the best rapper, babe.
So that's it.
Eminem has some serious competition.
What if Eminem got mad at me for rapping? He's like, that guy's hot. I'm gonna fight him. Because Eminem will fight you. Eminem will fight anybody.
I'm assuming.
That was like the scene in Funny People. He's like, just like, for some reason, it's like him and he's sitting there with Adam Sandler and he's like, he's like angry about being famous, and like Ray Romano's looking at him, and he's like, "What the fuck, Ray Romano?" And Ray Romano's like, "Darr!" It's like, "What?
I'm a catcher now."
I was just looking. I just thought I'd look at you because you're Eminem, and he's like, "What the fuck? I'm famous. I don't like this." He's like, and then Sandler's like, "Sweatpants." I haven't watched that movie in a while, but let's imagine how the scene goes.
No, I think you're accurate. I think that's line for line.
That's how Judd Apatow wrote it. He'd be like, you know what? That was even better than I imagined.
Yeah, this is like you're auditioning. That was like reciting a monologue.
Hey, what's an Apatow audition? Maybe I could be like one of his many shows. Maybe I could be like in like some one of those related movies he does, like
sure.
Ghostbusters. It's too late to get in Ghostbusters.
No, I think they totally need like a assistant to... Chris Hemsworth assistant.
And like rap about snakes.
Yeah, he'll be in the background like laying down a Slimer rap.
Slimer played by fellow Sideshow Network host Adam Ray. So they all, you know what? I should talk to Adam about this.
What? He's like, blah, 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 blah.
He's doing Slimer rap and he's like, I could be like Lin-Manuel doing S kind of guy and then you can like be like Slimer. We could do a rap and they could play it over the end of the credits.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a song. They're not going to play
that's
the thing. That should be the thing. Instead of the Ghostbusters theme song, they just be like me doing a rap about snakes.
I really miss that because they don't really do that anymore.
What, theme songs?
Yeah.
No, they don't.
They don't. And you know, you remember like Vanilla Ice and the Turtle Rap,
yeah.
The Ghostbusters theme song. They don't do that shit anymore.
No. No, they
we
don't.
We should bring it back.
There's nothing fun anymore.
You should bring it back.
I should. Okay. Well, that's it. Well, actually, yeah.
Did we say if we're going to read the next one?
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's three more issues after this. Are you going to read the next one?
I don't care.
Yeah, probably not.
Unless there's more snakes.
I don't.
In a museum.
It's the Mr. Terrific bores me.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I really just don't understand, like, why he's got, like a face paint tee.
Why don't you care about, like, his outside of his look? He just bores me.
But the thing is, like, every time I see him, I get confused. And then all I do is I think about the tee and why it's there and why he decided to paint his face with a tee instead of, like, wear a mask like everybody else. Or, like, is that a mask? Or, like, what the fuck? So then I just spend too much time thinking about that. And then I get bored.
Yeah. I'm already bored.
Yep.
You know, there was some, we were able to get some good, you know, some good thoughts about this, but overall, it is not as exciting as you would think it is.
No, you would hope, but it's not.
You would hope so, but no, that's it. All right, well, that's it for our show. That was JSA versus Cobra number 3 from October 2009. That's it for our show this week. You can find me on Twitter at Angry Hero Sean, as well as Instagram, Angry Hero Sean, SHAWN. My Tumblr, theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com and jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
And of course, sideshownetwork.tv is where you can find all of our great shows, Gilbert Gottfried, About Last Night with Adam Ray, a.k.a. Slimer, and Brad Williams. Also check out, you know, we have so much, I always blank on our stuff. But we have a new sports show, actually, with Adam Ray and Josh Wolf. And
We Hate Movies.
We Hate Movies. Yes, We Hate Movies.
Such a great podcast.
We Hate Movies. And let me think of one more. Lady Lovin' with Lo Bosworth, Julia Hendricks, Greta Tillman. Fantastic show. So please check out all of those podcasts. Rate and review. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it. And thank you for listening. And we will see you again next time.
Bye.